Thanks for tuning in to Mountain View Fellowship's weekly podcast with lead pastor Don Headley. At MVF, our mandate is pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. We know Jesus cared for people and placed a lot of emphasis on relationships, so we do too. We believe that we're created for relationship with God and that He gave each one of us a desire to belong. If you'd like more information about MVF, connect with us at mvfcolorado.com. Now, stay tuned for this week's message.
We are kicking off a brand new series today entitled Political Filter, and we're going to jump into this as it's going to take us through the next four Sundays. And if you do the math, it'll take us right to the election, and then the Sunday following the election, we'll do a follow-up week as well. All of this is going to come out of James chapter 1, verse 19, though. So if you would grab the Word of God, head over to James chapter 1, go to verse 19. We're going to be covering 19, 20, and 21 today. And as you head over there, I want to remind you of the MVF Colorado app as well. If you have that, you can actually open up your device, go to the app, click on Engage. Underneath there, you'll find the Bible as well as some message notes that you can fill in the blank as you follow along in today's message, hopefully to get more out of it. Today, I want to share with you, I know we're talking about politics today, but it's been kind of a crazy year, hadn't it, 2020? Have you seen a crazier year? I mean, for me, this has been unbelievable. Everything from COVID to quarantine to social distancing to masks to, I mean, where we're at right now, I mean, just dealing with having to have 50 people per service and everything. On top of that, think about the hurricanes that we've had coming in. We've had, two months ago, we had a snowstorm right in the middle of the week. Remember that? In September of all times. And now we have wildfires going on. And so it's just been kind of a crazy year. And as if we needed more, we're entering the political season, right? Now we got politics on top of everything else. And I would say that usually when an election year rolls around, that politics are probably one of the greatest stressors in American life, but this year it has a lot of competition, and it's just kind of elevated everything. It's made it even more difficult to deal with it. And if you guys have been around here any time at all, over the last 15 years here at Mountain View Fellowship, I rarely talk politics. I just don't do it very often, but I believe that this year we need to talk about politics, and I'll tell you why, because it's creating so much division and anger in our culture today. And I would even take it a step further. I would say that it's creating a lot of division and anger even within the church. And so I think it's important for us to talk about. Now, I know by saying that, some of you, you might find yourself in a different group. Maybe you're part of the group that's like nervous right now. You're like, oh, great. You know, my church, my pastor is going to be talking about politics. This is the last thing I wanted to hear about right now. Maybe you're part of the other group where you're like, finally, he's going to talk about politics. And maybe you're on one side of the aisle or the other, and you're just hoping that I set the other side straight through this whole series. I want you to know that this isn't why I'm doing this. I'm doing it because this political culture that we're in right now is as volatile as I've ever seen it. Now, it's not the worst it's ever been. Many of you, if you lived back in the 1960s, you remember a time that was even worse than this. And if you know your American history, you go back another 100 years, go to the 1860s, obviously we're nowhere close to any of that. But I have to say that this is the most volatile I've ever seen it in my lifetime. And the reason for that, it's just one word, is anger. We're angry right now. And we're angry because we see everything, and I mean everything, through a lens that's either red or blue. And one side assumes that when they see red, that that equals hate. And the other side sees blue, and they think that that equals hate. Billy Graham was one of the most famous pastors, evangelists of our time, and he was an amazing man. He had great opportunity because he met with world leaders, and he was willing to meet with anybody that wanted his wisdom and his influence and his advice, and it didn't matter what side of the aisle you were on. He would meet with you and pray with you and encourage you and advise you, and if you were a Republican or a Democrat president, it didn't matter to him. And his quote was, "I'm not for the left wing or the right wing, I'm for the whole bird." And that's kind of what we're going to be doing here. I want you to know up front, I'm not going to be raising the Republican flag or the Democrat flag. I'm not going to be doing that. The only flag that we're going to raise here is the banner of Jesus Christ. And you just need to know that up front. So I want to kick off today's message with a question. This is actually the big question. It's the one that's going to kind of carry us through this series. I want to know, which filter are you using? Are you using your faith filter, or are you using your political filter as you view the current events and the culture and what's going on around us? And by the way, this series is not designed to keep you from being political. It's not designed to have you pick a certain political party or vote for a certain candidate. I've got issues with both sides, so you're definitely not going to hear that from me. But this series is designed, hopefully, to teach you and challenge you to put your faith filter ahead of your political filter, especially in this season. And the reason we're doing this is because of the church itself. It's very interesting. If you're not a church person, you weren't raised in the church, you might not know this, but let me share with you something that's fascinating that I've learned about church. Republicans within your church, it doesn't matter what church or what state you're in, Republicans, if you were to ask them, if Jesus were here on the earth right now, which party would he belong to? They would always say he would be a Republican. And Democrats, if you ask them, they would always say, well, Jesus, if he was here today, he would be a Democrat. I've literally had Christians tell me, well-meaning Christians, both sides, tell me that you can't be a Christian and a Republican, or you can't be a Christian and a Democrat. And you know what I found is very just fascinating, incredible, in fact, is that when you interpret the words of Jesus through your own political filter, it's amazing how often he agrees with you. And this is where we stand. Now, this series is not designed to change your political party, your stance, your view. I'm not trying to do that, but I am going to challenge you in the way that you respond to what's going on around you, and we're hopefully going to teach you a way to respond in a godly way to this incredibly divisive and hateful political season so that you exit better than when you went in. And you might be thinking, well, what's wrong with me using my political filter? I don't think there's anything wrong with you using your political filter, but when we only use our political filter, we fall into all kinds of problems. Let me show you why. This is the big idea today, is using only your political filter will produce nothing but anger, which leads to hate. And if you don't believe me, just look around. Just turn the TV on and watch the news for a little bit. See, in the past, you and I, we could respectfully disagree with someone. We could disagree with each other. That was fine, but today, but there's so much anger that's entered into the picture that instead of criticizing content, we're actually criticizing character now. We've gone from, I disagree with you, to you're an idiot because you disagree with me. And when you criticize content, we can have a conversation. We can sit down and talk through those issues. But when you criticize character, what you're doing in that moment is you're judging the other person. So James, in the first chapter here, and by the way, James is the half-brother of Jesus, and he gives us an amazing way to respond to what's going on around us today. He's going to show us how to respond to a culture that is completely void of unity and is very divisive. And I want you to see his instructions right here in James chapter 1, verse 19. Are you there? Okay. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why? Verse 20, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Here, James is instructing his readers on how to react. It's hard for us to respond lovingly when we're in conflict with people, isn't it? When we're in conflict with someone, when we're having an argument with them, when we're in a difficult conversation, when things get heated, what happens? We get angry. And when we get angry, what happens? See, when anger sets in, our ears stop listening, our mind starts racing, our hearts get hardened. So James tells us that if you're going to produce the righteousness of God, you've got to change the way that you respond to people on the other side, people who think differently than you. And he mentions three different ways of doing this. Did you catch them? The first one is to be quick to listen. We need to be quick to listen. We've completely forgotten how to listen. Most of us, we're so quick to speak that we're not even really listening. I remember when I was growing up, my parents used to get on me all the time, and they'd say, there's a reason why God gave you two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to listen twice as much as you speak. I thought that was a parenting thing, and I found out it's actually a life skill. It's a good thing to practice no matter what age you are. But the problem is, we're so busy in our conversation thinking about how we're going to respond that we're not even really listening to the other person at all. The funny thing is, in conflict, both sides want the same thing. We want to be heard and we want to be understood. I want you to be quick to listen and you want me to be quick to listen. But we're so often so quick to speak, ready to speak our mind, ready to win the debate. But James says, hey, stop, take a deep breath, be quick to listen. But then he goes on and he adds to it. He says, be slow to speak. In the original text, this word that says slow there, that we translate into slow, actually could be translated as late. You could say it this way, be late to the conversation. When were you late to the conversation? When was the last time? And I don't mean late as in I got the final word. I'm talking about you actually closed your mouth, you held your words, you held your thoughts, and you listened. You truly tried to understand before you ever spoke into the subject. I want you to think about it this way. Everybody's behavior makes sense to them, doesn't it? Like, your behavior makes sense to you. My behavior makes sense to me. Everybody's response makes sense to them. Everybody's viewpoint makes sense to them. Everybody's political view makes sense to them. And when we don't understand them, it's because, well, we don't understand them. When we find ourselves saying things like, I don't know why you would say that. I don't understand how you could believe that or think that, or I don't know why you would do that. Then what we're saying in that moment is we're making actually a confession. We're confessing that we don't understand. And when we're saying things like that, that should be a big red flag that we should stop and we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. We need to listen a little bit more. Now, the problem with this season is many of us, we've cut ourselves off to listening. I don't want you to cut yourself off from other people, especially people that have a different point of view of you. I don't want you to lock yourself in an echo chamber. I want you to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Listen to others so that you can actually understand what they're trying to say. Now, one of the recent problems that we have, and I think one of the things that's added to where we're at today, is social media. We have had something else in our life that we've never had before. We've got all these platforms that are feeding us what we want to hear. These platforms actually have algorithms that feed you stories and advertisements, things that you already agree with, things that you've already liked. Something I want you to do is I want you to go to Netflix and I want you to watch this documentary. It's called The Social Dilemma. Have you ever had a pastor tell you to watch Netflix? I'm doing that today, okay? Go to Netflix. I want you to watch this. This is not a Christian documentary. It came out last month. My wife and I sat down and watched it, and it's very eye-opening, especially if you're a parent. You need to watch this documentary. But what you'll find out is that these algorithms narrow our understanding and our worldview. It narrows our ability to listen to different people from different points of view. These algorithms are actually designed to point you to the people and to the story that you already agree with, which makes it even more hard for us to open up our minds and our hearts and to listen to people that have a different point of view than us. That's why we need to be extremely intentional about being quick to listen and slow to speak. But there's a third thing that James lists. He says, thirdly, be slow to become angry. Be slow to anger. See, anger is one of the deepest, most densest forms of communication, and it communicates more information more quickly than almost any other type of emotion. And we all express it a little bit differently. Some of us, we explode, and some of us, we kind of clam up, and neither way, and even the ones in between, are helpful, and they definitely are not healthy for the conversation. Anger is one of those things that we struggle with because I think we have the wrong idea of what it is. And I want to just tell you up front, it's not sin. Notice he says, be slow to become angry. He doesn't say never be angry because he knows we're going to be angry. Like, there are some things we should be angry about. He just says, be slow to become angry. Anger is not a sin. We know that because when we look at scripture, we see Jesus getting angry. He flips over tables. He calls out the religious leaders. And actually in Ephesians 4:26, Paul tells us, in your anger, do not sin. Like, you're going to get angry. But in that anger, don't let it become sin. But see, James is the one, the brother of Jesus. He's the one that gives us this formula to make sure that we don't sin in our anger. He's also the one that tells us the reason why it becomes sin. Take a look at this. If we look at verse 20, it says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. He says, this is why you got to be careful. And he actually says human anger. See, there's a big difference between human anger and righteous anger. In the Gospels, we see Jesus respond with righteous anger many times. And his righteous anger actually is exclusively reserved for people who, through political means or through religious means, mistreat other people. I think we need to take James' advice here. We need to understand that there's a big difference between human anger and righteous anger. See, he uses the word human, I think, to separate those two. He's not saying anger is sin, but he's saying human anger. And that's anger that actually is selfish. It's self-centered. It's self-righteous. It's anger that is all about me. Jesus didn't seem to get angry with how people mistreated him. It wasn't about himself. But you want to talk about when he got angry? It was about the way people treated others. It was on behalf of someone else. Human anger is when it's all about me, when it's anger that produces only what I desire, not what God desires, when it doesn't help the people around me, when it doesn't produce what God wants, it's all about me, myself, and I. That's when it becomes sinful. That's human anger. Now, human anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God. The word righteousness there actually means justice. Human anger doesn't produce the justice that God desires. Look at verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. That word moral filth actually means dishonor. And it says, and the evil. The evil actually is like malice. So when your anger compels you to dishonor somebody else, to react with malice, like wishing ill intent for somebody else, hoping something bad happens to them, then you've crossed a line in your anger. Much of the anger that we see today is not righteous anger. Would you agree? You know, like what we're seeing on TV and in our society today, it's human anger. It's unrighteous anger. It's anger that's self-centered. You don't believe like I believe. You don't behave the way I behave. And so my anger is now designed to dishonor you, to wish ill intent against you, instead of being slow to speak and quick to listen. It's the opposite. It's this quick to speak and slow to listen type of anger that gets us in trouble. It dishonors God, and it definitely doesn't help the people around us, which honestly should be our daily motive, right? I mean, that's what we as disciples of Jesus Christ are supposed to be living out. Remember the great commandment? Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He doesn't give us one, he gives us two. It says what? To love God, love others. This is our faith filter. If we're living our life by our faith filter, we approach things, we respond completely different. Because now we're looking for ways of loving God and loving the people around us instead of winning an argument or yelling them down. Now, can you imagine how much better things would be right now if we were living this out? And I'm not even talking about the whole country. I'm just talking about the believers. If the believers themselves just did this, it would change everything if we approached this whole season viewing it through our faith filter. It would change so much of just loving God and loving others. So how can we start to live this out, to be quick to listen, be slow to speak, and be slow to become angry? How do we do that? Well, here's the first step, and I've got homework for you. You came today, I'm going to give you homework before you leave. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to memorize and I want you to rehearse this passage. Maybe you write it on your mirror in the morning. So every morning when you get up, that's the first thing that you read before you ever start your day. I want you to memorize and rehearse James 1, 19 through 20 every day. I want you to rehearse it when you're talking to your spouse, when you're disciplining your kids, when you're interacting with your coworkers or your classmates, when you're visiting your neighbors. Especially if you're getting ready to drop the hammer on somebody on social media, I want you to stop for a minute and read over James 1, all right? Memorize in James 1, 19 through 20 every day. And I was going to say until the end of the month, but then I realized the election is actually next month. And so we're going to take it all the way through the election. And here's my prayer and hope for you as a pastor, that this becomes part of just your life. It doesn't become a for 1 month thing. It becomes an all day, every day for the rest of my life thing, that we begin to really exercise being slow to speak, quick to listen, and not allowing our anger to take over. I want us to memorize this. So today, let's read this together. James 1, 19, 20. Would you read it with me? It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I want you over the next few weeks to memorize this. I want you to place it deep in your heart so no one can take it from you. And I want you to begin to use your faith filter as you view everything that's going on in this season. And I believe that what God is going to do is something big in our hearts. And I believe that you're going to feel that anger and that anxiety kind of subside in your life. Can I pray for that right now? Would you join me in that? Heavenly Father, would you please just meet with us right now? God, we're struggling in this season just with everything that's going on. And I pray that you would just move mightily in our hearts and minds. Lord, as we talked about James 1, being quick to listen, would you show us how we can do that? Would you give us opportunities this week to just be able to close our mouths and to be able to listen to the people around us, especially those that don't exactly agree with us? God, would you help us to live this out of loving you and loving the people around us in the way that we respond, even in this very divisive and hateful political season? God, we give you all these things. We just ask that you would continue to mold and shape us into the people that you've called us to be. We pray all of this brings glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen.